following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Whether you're headed out around town or out on a winter adventure, Dick's Sporting Goods has all your cold weather gear. Now until November 23rd, get the lowest prices of the season on Columbia Omni-Heat jackets, pants, and accessories. Get the Columbia Whirlybird jacket, now only $149.98. The silver dots in Omni-Heat reflect your body heat back to you, and it's breathable so you won't overheat. Dick's Sporting Goods' lowest prices of the season, now through November 23rd. Every season starts at Dick's.
The Home Depot has lowered prices for the holidays, so let's get a move on and get a Ryobi OnePlus 18-volt lithium-ion drill and impact driver combo kit for a new low price of $129. Then let's give the gift of drilling and driving and recharging in 30 minutes or less. Let's nail the perfect gift for our favorite do-it-yourselfer. Let's do this with holiday savings. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A Thursday edition to get you through the next hour of local, state, and national topics. Glad to have you along. Doug Duda with our producer, engineer, Jeff Babel on this Thursday. We're going to talk with Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network at the bottom of the hour, talking about what we've got left to play for here in the Big Ten Conference now that Ohio State and Michigan State have virtually sewn up their berths in Indianapolis. We'll talk about that, maybe even get a little hoops talk during the show today, because we'll also be joined by Joe Giuliano of the Philadelphia Inquirer in our next segment to talk Penn State and talk maybe a little Big East basketball, too, as he covers the Villanova beat, so we'll talk about that. Also, Luke Hoover. It's Thursday. It's fantasy football time. And Luke from RotoWire and RotoWire.com will answer all your fantasy football questions. A lot of trade deadlines coming up this week. And not much left out there on the waiver wires, but it's a lot of injuries. Who do you play? Who's guy that maybe you have that would have a good week? If you've got questions about how to put your lineup together for your fantasy football team this weekend, give us a email, give us a tweet, give us a Facebook message, and we will get it to Luke in the final segment here today. Again, the same way, if you're new to the area, the Doug and Daddy Show has plenty of ways to get a hold of us. Anytime you want to try to win on one of our contests or just buzz in and have a comment, the Bruce Furniture fan line is 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. The Debt Popper inbox, you can email us anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, the Facebook is also ESPN Superstation. So love to hear from you on today's program. Nebraska men's basketball team will be taking on Massachusetts in the opening game of the Charleston Classic at the bottom of the hour. We'll keep you up to date on that. Plus, it will air on 1230 a.m. KHAS. A lot going on in the world, so we're glad that you're along with us. Hey, the Kearney Bearcat Booster Club will have their winter sports preview coming up on Saturday. It's from 11:30 to 1:30 at the Kearney High Gym. Basketball, boys and girls, wrestling, swimming and diving. It'll all be there, and everyone's welcome to attend. They will be serving a Polish dog or hamburger, chips and drink. Players, coaches, referees, 8th grade Kearney Basketball Club are welcome to eat up there. Parents and community members, come on up. Free will donation will be taken for the Kearney Bearcat Booster Club and their winter sports preview. So much to get to, so little time. Well, what should we start with today? At least the national scene is pretty quiet. Big trade in Major League Baseball, one that I guess you never see coming. Prince Fielder goes from Detroit to Texas, and Ian Kinsler returns. Do want to start a little bit here, though, with the Hall of Fame. Yesterday, the first cut of 2014 was announced, and you kind of know how this goes. Once you're eligible after 5 years, you can be on the ballot for 15 years, and then you go to the Old Boy Club, or you get to put on the Veterans Committee. Well, a few of the guys are dangerously close to getting to that, and I'm looking at the 25 semifinalists and wondering who should get in and who shouldn't get in. And I'm going to run down the list for you. I'd love to get your comments on who should or shouldn't get in. And you have to put in 4, I believe it is, and you can't put in more than 7, I believe the rule is. So you got 4, 5, 6, or 7 of these people will get into the Hall of Fame. Those that are eligible for the first time this year include longtime coach Tony Dungy, his wide receiver Marvin Harrison that was with him for so long at Indianapolis, linebacker Derek Brooks, and tackle Walter Jones. And I'm going to admit, I did not get deep into looking at all the statistics for all of these guys. This is more of a, when you hear their name, are they a Hall of Famer or are they not? Are they a Hall of Famer this time or are they not? So 25 modern era semifinalists out of 126 that were originally on the list. And they've got them listed in alphabetical order. There's a couple of former Huskers that are on the list that need to go into the Hall of Fame. First off, you've got kicker Morton Anderson. He played for about everybody. The Saints, the Falcons, the Giants, the Chiefs, the Vikings. But a majority of his career was with the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. When it comes to kickers, he's the only one that's on the list. It's just so hard. The only time kickers are going to get in is when the class or the people are a little weak. Morton Anderson, Hall of Famer? Steve Atwater, safety for the Denver Broncos. I'm going to say Anderson right now. If I was voting, no. Atwater, no. Jerome Bettis, started with the Rams, went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Bettis is going to get in. Whether he gets in this year or not, I don't know. Does he deserve to get in? Look at his yardage. He was more than just the battering ram that screwed up all your fantasy football teams, and you had all those Pittsburgh running backs, and then here come the bus to run one in from a yard out. What was the one game he had, like 6 carries for negative 3 yards and 3 touchdowns? One of the great lines of all time. So there you go. Jerome Bettis, I'll say, I got 7 votes. He's going to be one of them that's a yes. Derek Brooks, linebacker, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know what? I'm going to say yes to Derek Brooks. Tim Brown, outstanding wide receiver with the Raiders and the Buccaneers. I'm going to say yes to Tim Brown. I'm going to have more than 7 here, and then we'll eliminate. Don Coryell, great coach. Cardinals, Chargers, not yet. Roger Craig, yes, should be in, should have been in a long time ago. Roger Craig needs to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's running out of time before he gets onto the Veterans Committee. His last year was 93 with the Vikings, so he's eligible in 98. Maybe this is his last year. This might be Roger Craig's last year. Roger Craig, yes. Terrell Davis, you know, he had a 2,000-yard season with the Broncos. I don't know, though. Is he a Hall of Famer? He's one of those guys that his career didn't last long enough. I'm going to say no right now. Eddie DeBartolo, owner of the San Francisco 49ers, you know he's going in at some point. And as I scan it here, one of those coaches or executives always gets in. I'm going to say Eddie DeBartolo is in. So that's already 5 of them. Tony Dungy, coach. Here's the deal with Tony Dungy. He's a great man. But does that necessarily mean you get into the Hall of Fame? Today, I say Tony Dungy would be a no. Eventually, yes. 1 Super Bowl? I right now, Eddie DeBartolo over Tony Dungy. So that's what I'm going to. Kevin Green, psychotic linebacker, Rams, Steelers, Panthers, Niners. No, that's where I'm going to go right there. Charles Haley, 49ers, Cowboys, winning all those Super Bowl rings, I say yes. Marvin Harrison, not this time, but eventually yes. One of the greats of all time. Joe Jacoby, tackle with the Washington Redskins. No. Jimmy Johnson, coach of my Dallas Cowboys and then the Miami Dolphins. He's going to get in too. Should he get in ahead of Tony Dungy? Probably. Is he as likable as Tony Dungy? No. He's borderline. He'll get in, whether it's this year or not, hard to tell. He's been eligible before and didn't even make the cut, so I'm going to say no. Then you got Walter Jones, tackle from the Seahawks. I'm going to admit I don't know enough about Walter Jones, so that's a no. John Lynch, outstanding safety. Maybe eventually, not today. Carl Mecklenburg, awesome linebacker for the Broncos. No. Andre Reed, wide receiver. Again, this is one that a lot of people have been putting their vote in for, saying, hey, we need Andre Reed. I'm going to say no. And then the last one is Will Shields, and he is a yes. He's not even the last one. Excuse me. We've got one more section. Will Shields, he's a yes. Needs to be in, and everybody knows it. Michael Strahan of the Giants, he's eventually going to get in. Paul Tagliabue, the commissioner, I suppose he'll get in, but I'm not voting for him today. Aeneas Williams, corner and safety. Steve Wisniewski, guard for the Raiders, and George Young, contributor to the National Football League, and he will get in. So what do I got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I've got 8 guys marked. I need to leave one of them off the list. Strahan will get in. Tagliabue will get in. And I think Jimmy Johnson will probably get in. Those are the guys on the outskirts. So I've got Jerome Bettis, Derek Brooks, Tim Brown, Roger Craig, Eddie DeBartolo, Charles Haley, Will Shields, and George Young. Where did I miss the boat? What do you guys think? Who should be in and who shouldn't? I got to get rid of that one of these guys because that's 8. I got to put one of them on the sidelines and that because that's 8. Boy. My Husker favoritism will show here. I'm not going to get rid of either Will or Roger Craig. I think it comes down to Jerome Bettis or Derek Brooks. Man. So Derek Brooks. So we'll leave Derek Brooks out. We'll leave Derek Brooks out. My 7 would be Jerome Bettis, Roger Craig, Eddie DeBartolo, Charles Haley, Will Shields, and George Young. And a lot of the young folks out there, Jeff has no idea who George Young is. This is a guy, though, historically, and maybe you wait and put him in with the Veterans Committee, but George Young built so many outstanding teams and did so many great things that his legacy deserves to get him into the Hall of Fame. Did I leave somebody off, Jeff?
I don't think so, but I think what happens is, you know, like Subway really helps out Michael Strahan and Jerome Bettis, and they're also on Fox, and so is Jimmy Johnson. So I think, and Terrell Davis is on NFL Network, isn't he? And so sometimes these
voters hate that.
Terrell Davis,
they hate
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Terrell Davis isn't a Hall of Famer, but his perception is that, you know, he's on TV, and I wonder if that's what, you know, maybe got Chris Carter in last year because he's on, you know, NFL Countdown. So, I mean, it's if you just kind of go by pure stats, I think you got a good list there. Roger Craig hopefully gets in, but if it's a border between him and a Bettis, I think Bettis gets it just because of the name recognition of late, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you. So there's a thought to start off the show. We're going to take a break, and we'll go to Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer, to talk Penn State football after this.
This important message from Complete Nutrition is for all men over 30.
You're a guy over 30 and not in the best of shape. You know that you put on about 5 pounds every year from not doing anything about it. You want the energy you once had. Even your libido is suffering and your wife is looking at you sideways. You've made it too far in life to stop caring about your health. Take control and get ManCore Pro. ManCore Pro is designed for men over 30. Now with a powerful new formula combining a daily multivitamin. Increase your energy, boost your testosterone and metabolism, and get all of your daily nutrients. ManCore Pro has everything you need to take care of your body and maintain a healthy lifestyle. Men don't quit. Man up and get healthy. Get the new ManCore Pro, exclusively at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
we have Protection One at our house.
And they protect our home, too.
Best feature for me, mobile control. I use my phone, see what the kids are doing, turn on or off the lights, or just arm and disarm the system anywhere I am.
Best feature for me, Protection One customer service. They have live operators, an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, and offer same-day service.
Plus, with a national footprint, they protect nearly 2 million homes and businesses today.
Oh, no, we actually agree. Protection One is the best defensive player pick.
Get a Protection One home security system starting at just $99. Go to ProtectionOne.com/Mike.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by...
J-E-R-S-E-Y-S, go!
Lace them up.
Right away, three.
Strap it on.
Three to try to win it.
It's pull good. It over. You're going to Jersey's, where the high-def big screens put you there, along with great food, cold drinks, great fans. It's simple. Jersey's attracts real sports fans, the kind like you, who wear the team colors on their back, their loyalty on their sleeves, bleed their team's colors. Jersey Sports Bar, Vista Point, North Kearney. It's like a courtside ticket.
For the win. Up, got it, the buzzer.
The skies remain overcast today. We'll also see some scattered flurries and snow showers, possibly mixing with some sleet developing. Any accumulation stays at an inch or less by tonight, with temperatures that'll stay pretty steady in the 20s. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 25.
Oh, playing some Who. See, now that was a solid Super Bowl halftime. That was a solid Super Bowl halftime. What do we got this year? Who is it that's the brothers? I don't even know. Is it Mumford and... Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars is doing it. Yeah, okay, whatever. Bruno Mars. Doug and Daddy Show. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Love to take you on a trip with us next week for our Husker lunch. We want to say a congratulations to our winner of the Nebraska-Iowa football tickets. Gene Beerbaum was the winner yesterday. Sean Callahan drawn out the name for four tickets to Nebraska and Iowa next Friday at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Today, the weather reminds me of that ball game that was at Iowa 1 year ago. But right now, let's talk Penn State. Joe Giuliano is gracious enough to give us some of his time from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Joe, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are things in the East?
Oh, just fine, thanks. Weather's pretty good, but I think it's all supposed to go downhill Saturday at Penn State, so no guarantees.
And is this football team, is a Penn State, is this a football team that's built to play in this kind of weather? Some of the talk here is we've got a few California kids like Tommy Armstrong at quarterback that are going to be getting their first dose. Even in Nebraska, they're going to be getting their first dose of real bad weather.
Bill O'Brien makes it a point. He says that we try to build ourselves to be able to deal with the rotten weather of November. We're playing Big Ten football. We're playing in the north, and we want to have a strong running game. So they have emerged with a decent offensive line this year and two good running backs. So I think they're able to handle cold weather. We haven't seen it yet, but supposedly they can.
Joe, let's get into talking about the Nittany Lions here, sitting at 3-3 in the conference and 6-4 overall. Is that about where you thought this team would be? Is your expectation before the season different than where the team is at now?
Well, it's hard to say. I know that's a good question. I mean, we all expected to go that they would go to Minnesota and win. And I guess Nebraska felt the same way. Didn't work out too well. The game at Indiana, Indiana had gone into that game allowing 250 yards a game rushing, and Penn State decided, well, we're going to pass the ball, and they lost by 20. So, they've played pretty poorly on the road. I mean, the loss at Ohio State, I mean, everybody loses there. But, at Indiana and at Minnesota, I think they could have had two more wins there. But then on the other hand, you can say they lucked out against Michigan. The poor Michigan kicker had three chances to win that game and failed on all three tries, and Penn State ended up winning. So, I guess a net of plus one, I would say 7-3 would have been a good spot for them to be at right now instead of 6-4. But they've clinched the 500 season, but they have two tough games left, home Nebraska and at Wisconsin.
We remember that game with Wisconsin last year, which was the home foot finale and all the emotion in Bill O'Brien's first year. I've been saying since spring ball, when everybody said, how will Nebraska do this year? I said there were two, and this is from the beginning of the year, there are two games that scare the bejesus out of me. A, going to Michigan and how things change there. And B, this game at Penn State. When I said Nebraska was going to go 10-2, I chalked this up as one of the losses for a variety of reasons. But the biggest is this, no matter what their record was going to be, this is Penn State's bowl game. Is that the kind of atmosphere we have this week?
Yes, unfortunately, I have to agree with you. It is that kind of atmosphere. You know, Bill O'Brien was funny. He said this week that last year, he said, you know, I've been in the NFL for a while. I hadn't been around college campuses in a while. And when I shook hands with the seniors before they went out to be introduced before the game, they were all crying. He said, I didn't realize it was going to be such an emotional day. And I had to take them back to the locker room and remind them, you know, this is what we're out here for. And they ended up winning a tough overtime victory. And it's going to be the same way this week. I mean, this senior class is not nearly in the realm of last year's senior class when they all, you know, the last year's senior class all got together and kept that team together by force of sheer will. And this year's senior class decided, well, we're going to stick around for the last 2 years because this is Penn State. We like being here. So there's going to be a lot of emotion and a lot of the same stuff that happened last year. And but the problem is too, you know, you can be over emotional and you know, kind of lose your way and lose your focus. So you know, I think both possibilities are likely.
I don't know exactly how many Husker fans will make the trip here because of a variety of reasons. One is it's right before Thanksgiving. Two, it's just tough to get to State College and watch this football game. But the last time that Nebraska was there, obviously, was the worst week in Penn State history. So Nebraska didn't get a chance to, I guess, if you're a fan, and really enjoy what Penn State is all about. If you're a fan coming from Nebraska, what is there to enjoy about coming to the atmosphere at State College?
Well, I think it is a very, you know, tight-knit atmosphere, a lot of tailgating. There's a 3:30 start on Saturday Eastern time, and, you know, there'll be a lot of tailgating starting at like 8 or 9 in the morning. You know, people love their tailgate. They love to walk around downtown along College Avenue to, sample some of the shops and some of the restaurants. Obviously, it's all Penn State, material in the shops. But, you know, it's a lot of fun to just walk around and soak in the atmosphere. They'll have over 100,000 people in the stands, and it'll be a big day. But like I said, the weather's not supposed to be too great. But, you know, people are very hale and hearty up there, and they'll come out in any kind of weather. So, you know, it's just a lot of fun just, you know, like I said, soaking in the atmosphere of the tailgates. And if you're good and, you know, you look nice, they might even offer you a hot dog or a burger.
Joe Giuliano, I think Husker fans can handle that. Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer. You can find him on Twitter at Joe Jules, INQ. As far as the football team goes, Christian Hackenberg was highly heralded and a lot of people surprised that he would go to Penn State with the situation where it was, the number one quarterback recruit. Boy, he the comments are here, even from the Husker coaching staff. He sure doesn't look like a true freshman.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't been a true freshman at all. You know, obviously the first, two, three games, he was still kind of finding his way. But O'Brien is very clever in developing quarterbacks. Obviously didn't really empty the playbook out at all this year. Just gave him a little more to chew on every single week, and he's gotten progressively better. He's had his share of ruts, but just like any other true freshman, and obviously when you get to the last two games, you have the exhaustion of, 10 games and practices and meetings and the whole deal, and then you have the final two games where you're trying to end successfully and point to next season. So, but fundamentally, he's the real deal. And you mentioned earlier, the fact that he stuck with Penn State in the midst of all the mess there was here. And I think Bill O'Brien will be eternally grateful to him and to a tight end by the name of Adam Brenneman for sticking to their commitments throughout with all the coaches in the rear saying, well, hey, Penn State's not going to a bowl game. You'd be better off with us and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, Hackenberg, has a place in the Penn State pantheon of heroes, even though he's only a freshman.
Joe, we always like to look at the stats, and if you don't follow the team, the opposition, it's sometimes hard to know a lot about them. But outside of Hackenberg and the passing offense, Penn State is really statistically not in the upper half of about anything in the conference or the country. Which one of these stats is a little deceiving? Where are they actually better than what the stat sheet says?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, the passing game kind of goes in fits and spurts, and you know, you swear sometimes there's only one receiver, you know, catching the passes, and it's a, he's a darn good receiver, Allen Robinson, last year's Big Ten Receiver of the Year, and maybe this year's Big Ten Receiver of the Year as well. You know, they have their moments, you know, with stopping the run. They did a great job of stopping the run against Michigan, and, you know, but they didn't do a good job of stopping the run against Minnesota. So, you know, we're not sure about them. The running attack is a little better than we thought. They have two backs, Zach Zwinak and Bill Belton, each with over 700 yards rushing. And the offensive line has progressively gotten better as the year has gone on, although every time we ask O'Brien about it, he bristles and says, I thought they've been good since day one. So, but it's all what you see, I guess. But that's pretty much it. You know, the pass defense has been kind of bad. It's been worthy of all its bad statistics. They just play, you know, too loose off receivers and Nebraska's receivers. I mean, Kenny Bell could have a field day on Saturday if the secondary doesn't improve from their performances of the last few weeks.
Just another minute here with Joe Giuliano of the Philadelphia Inquirer. A lot has been made out here as well about your two-headed running back situation with Zwinak and Belton. What makes them different, and what situations, I guess, against Nebraska, would one of them fit better, or is it still kind of a 50-50 split?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, when Zwinak lost the fumble against Michigan that was returned for a touchdown and lost the fumble the following week against Ohio State. So all of a sudden, Belton's the first-team guy, and he runs for over 200 yards against Illinois and, you know, had a good game against Minnesota. And then he fumbled the ball three straight games, lost fumbles in three straight games. So Zwinak came back last week and gained 150 yards. So I guess it's whoever Bill likes at the time. He swears by both backs, says they're, you know, great football players and just need a little more focus on ball security. But, you know, you just never know what you're going to get. They can run the ball hard, but the fumbles have been a real problem this year for them and for Penn State.
Tough if you're playing Penn State fantasy football to figure out which one of these guys to play every
Absolutely.
Week. Joe, I know we talked about it when we were previewing the season, but how's our favorite Penn State player this year, the smartest man that any of us know, John Urschel? How's he doing?
John is great. You know, he's in contention for that National Scholar Athlete of the Year award. We'll find out about that in a couple of weeks. But, you know, he's been terrific. I mean, he's, you know, you ask him a question and, you know, he'll just sit and ponder it for like, you know, 8 seconds. And then a gaggle of reporters, an 8-second pause is like an eternity. But he will always give you the thoughtful answer and he won't throw anybody under the bus. And, you know, still the most fascinating guy in college football, in my opinion.
And Joe, basketball, you know, here in Nebraska, until the Huskers become relevant, the only thing to really pay attention to is Creighton. How jacked up are you about the newness of the Big East?
Well, I'm just hoping I get to travel. I'd love to come. I hear so much about the atmosphere at Creighton, and I would love to see it for myself. You know, 15, 16, 17,000, is that right, for
yeah.
every game there? And
yeah.
it's just you know, that sounds like an amazing atmosphere and one that would be, you know, worthy of a Big East member team. You know, Creighton came to Philly last week and played St. Joe in a real tough game and, you know, won the game in the closing 30 seconds, which is a credit to them because St. Joe's is a real tough place to play. But when we get started with Big East, it's, you know, I have a vote in the AP Top 25, and I've voted Creighton every week since the preseason. So I've seen nothing to discourage me. But I really, as a Big East basketball writer, I do have to learn some more names other than Doug McDermott, and I apologize in advance to Creighton fans. But by the time they play Villanova, I'll know their names.
Joe, it sounds great, and we really appreciate you giving us some time here over your lunch hour, and we will chat again. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thanks. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Take care. Joe Giuliano joining us here from the Philadelphia Inquirer on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Glad to have you, Joe, with us to cover a variety of topics. And if you weren't able to make our Husker lunch yesterday, I think that's the interesting thing. Bill Belton, Zach Zwinak, who will have the hot hand, if either, against Nebraska. I think it's very interesting, too. You know, even I learned a few things from Sean Callahan yesterday, and we'll kind of touch on that here over the next couple of segments. But we roll right along here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we continue to preview the Nebraska-Penn State matchup and the other games that are going on in the Big Ten, as if Husker fans care anymore. Rick Pizzo from the Big Ten Network. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great. Husker fans always care, my man. Come on now. You know that.
Well, we love, again, I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm continuing to watch more of the Big Ten Network, and I'm continuing to like more of what I see. So, guys, keep up the great work, and that's not just saying that. I really enjoy watching you guys chat around out there. So keep up the good work. But what else is there to watch between now and the championship game, because Michigan State and Ohio State have this baby locked up?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, we can know a week ahead of time. Michigan State takes care of business this week at Northwestern. Ohio State takes care of business at home against Indiana, games they should win easily. Then we know a week ahead of time who will be in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. I think the interesting thing, though, is how does that affect the final week of the regular season? How does it affect the mindset? Now, for Ohio State, the Buckeyes will still be playing for a spot in the national championship game. Who knows what's going to happen with this Florida State situation and Jameis Winston, Alabama. Alabama still has a very tough Iron Bowl game against Auburn. Ohio State believes, and they should, that they are still clearly in the national championship hunt. Other teams, I'm going to be very interested to see if Michigan State wins this weekend. How do they play against Minnesota in the last game of the year, knowing full well that that game, other than pride, doesn't mean a lot? They don't really have a chance to get into the BCS unless they win the Big Ten championship game and go to the Rose Bowl. Now, Wisconsin, on the flip side, if they finish 10-2 and they don't make the Big Ten championship game and sit back, are they going to get a BCS bid? So while some people would argue there's not a lot to watch in the final week if Michigan State and Ohio State lock it up, I argue the exact opposite. I think it becomes even more intriguing.
How great is this Minnesota story?
It's unbelievable. I mean, obviously, the better story would be if Jerry Kill were healthy enough to still be on the sidelines, but what they are doing is just amazing. I think it needs to be made clear that Tracy Clays has been with Jerry Kill for nearly two full decades now. And while Jerry is the more energetic, passionate, emotional guy in that relationship, Tracy is the rock. And if you could have picked a guy to have to fill in this situation and not miss a beat, not lose one ounce of respect from the players, you literally could not have found a better assistant coach on any team in the country. And that's obviously proven itself out as Minnesota sits at 8-2 getting ready to play for the Axe weekend.
Rick Pizzo, and that's huge. Love watching that game as well. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. When we came back from Chicago, I told folks, I think Minnesota is going to be a better football team, but we were so enamored with how good we thought this Legends division would be that I said, well, and by being better, maybe they can get ahead of Iowa and finish fifth in the division. What's happened with Michigan? Let's start there. I think we know what's happened with Nebraska, and they're still not in a horrible spot. And Iowa's Iowa, and Northwestern can't catch a break this year. They really couldn't catch a break last year either, it seems like. But what's wrong with Michigan?
Well, it comes down to not being able to run the football and not being able to stop the run. And I think it's a bigger deal at Michigan because Michigan has long been known as a team that has those nasty, massive, solid offensive linemen, and they're going to beat you up into the fourth quarter. And this year, they've gotten beaten up. It's Taylor Lewan and then four guys who right now are not playing Division I quality offensive line football. Now, to be fair, they've used five different combinations just between the guards and centers already this year. That doesn't take into account the other tackle opposite Lewan. So, yes, they've had some moving parts, but I guess my big question and my big concern with Michigan is that they continue to run a tailback-oriented pro-style offense without a pro-style tailback and with an offensive line that can't block. And all that does is put Devin Gardner in a world of hurt, 19 sacks in the last three games. You can't protect your quarterback and you can't run the football. You can't win. And Michigan was really lucky to get out of Northwestern with a win last weekend.
Talking with Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network. Let me ask you, Ohio State, as the proponent of Big Ten football, do they right now deserve, if we played the BCS championship game, if this was it, if this was the final vote, was today, do they deserve to be in the number two hole and play Alabama?
No. Florida State deserves to be there. I mean, that's what I've seen, and I've taken a lot of heat on my Twitter account from Ohio State fans who say, if we want that, we'll listen to ESPN or we'll listen to somewhere else. Hey, listen, I believe Ohio State is the third best team in the country. I don't believe that Baylor should jump them regardless of what happens the rest of the year if Ohio State wins out. But I have also watched Alabama and I have also watched Florida State. And at this point, those are the two best teams in the nation. Now, if Jameis Winston is not eligible to play for Florida State, if this criminal investigation gets to the point where he is charged with a felony and automatically cannot play for the Seminoles, then yes, I would vote Ohio State second because Florida State is not Florida State without Jameis Winston. But if he is on the field and they win the ACC championship and stay undefeated, if Alabama wins the SEC championship and stays undefeated, then those two teams, without a doubt, should be in Pasadena on January 6th playing for the national title.
Couple thoughts on Nebraska and conference in general. Amir Abdullah continues to quietly open eyes of everybody. Is he the best running back in the conference?
I think he is. I think he's the most complete running back in the conference. I think Melvin Gordon is more explosive. I think Carlos Hyde is more punishing. But I think when you take everything into account, the running ability, the patience, the speed, the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, and here's the big one, the ability to block when called on to do so. I think Amir Abdullah is the most complete back. He's been over 100 in every game except one, and he missed in the UCLA game, if I'm not mistaken, by 2 yards. Everybody knows that Amir Abdullah is going to be the key of Nebraska's offense, and they're still not able to stop him. He's going to be a terrific pro, and to me, right now, yes, he is the best and most complete back in the league.
We just talked to Joe Giuliano from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I've characterized all year, no matter what the records were going to be, Nebraska going to Penn State is Penn State's bowl game. It's a whole different road game for Nebraska. What do they got to do to get out of there with a big win?
They have to avoid turnovers. It's that simple. Penn State is a much, much better and much more opportunistic team, especially on defense at home than they are on the road. If Nebraska can do what they did against Michigan in the Big House, limit the turnovers, pound it, play. You don't have to play great defense, but you have to play solid enough defense that Hackenberg and Robinson don't beat you downfield. And I think Nebraska has the defensive backfield to slow Robinson down. You're not going to stop him. You have to slow him down, and you have to make sure that neither Zwinak or Belton are able to run the football in between the tackles. You do that, and then I think you can win this football game. You don't do those two things, or you turn the ball over on offense, Penn State will make you pay at home.
Rick, this has been kind of a little debate because Husker fans that want to see change can't even really get mad at the coaching staff for what happened against Michigan State. You've got the other side that says, you know what, we think Nebraska is a better football team than Michigan State and would have won the game had they not kept giving them the football. And that all is what it is. Jerry DiNardo, we saw, did not agree with that. Kind of your thoughts, is Nebraska or is it Michigan State? They've now played each other. Michigan State wins, or are they just so close that that's the way it went? The best team in the division is?
Yeah, the best team is Michigan State. I mean, I think they've proven that. They don't have a loss in the division. They haven't stubbed their toe. They went on the road to Lincoln and won. Now, they gave up more points, and I think Nebraska did a better job offensively, minus the turnovers, than most people thought they could do against Michigan State. But that's what the Spartans do. They force you to make mistakes because you're trying to do things outside of your comfort zone to find holes in that defense that just don't exist. Michigan State has proven to this point they are clearly the best team in the Legends division. I'm not arguing that they're more talented offensively than Nebraska because I think Abdullah probably gives the edge to Nebraska, but as a whole, when you take offense, defense, special teams, and all the intangibles into play, Michigan State right now is the better football program.
Well, on the other side, let's bring it out. Illinois and Purdue play each other this week. Somebody's got to win that football game.
And it would be huge for Tim Beckman because he does not have a Big Ten win. And there have been, for as much call as there is for Bo Pelini's head in Lincoln, it's probably even louder in Champaign. Nothing that Tim Beckman has done during his 2-year tenure at Illinois has gone right. He needs a victory. And I think he realizes that in a game against a really struggling Purdue team, if you're not able to get this win, then I'm not sure what you say when you walk into Mike Thomas, the athletic director's office at the end of the year. What is your selling point that keeps you in Champaign? I think this game is vitally, vitally important for Illinois. And I think they can score enough points. I would not be surprised at all if they finally get off the Big Ten schneid for Beckman this weekend against the Boilermakers.
Just another minute here with Rick Pease with the Big Ten Network on the Doug and Daddy Show. Every once in a while, you got to look at the line. And I am just shocked. Considering what the game was like last year and the way Indiana can put up the points, that Ohio State would be a 35-point favorite in this ball game. Justified?
Yeah, I think it's because of last year, and I think it's because of last week. Last year is going to make sure that Ohio State does not look past Indiana. It's also at home. Ohio State is being docked style points for the way that they lost to Illinois last week because it was a 12-point game in the fourth quarter. Two of their starting linebackers were out, and they lost the defensive lineman early in the game for the remainder of that game. All three of those guys are going to be back against an Indiana offense that had been red hot but scored just 3 points on the road in Madison last week. The perfect storm here for Ohio State. I expect this to be a blowout Buckeye win.
And when you're sitting there at the sports desk, does Chuck Long ever look across at Eric Crouch and go, I was better than you?
They were just having a conversation. Your timing is impeccable. In our green room, both are here today. We were looking up Crouch's career numbers, and we found out he had 29 interceptions, and Long looked at him like, I threw the ball 15 times as much as you, and I didn't have 29 picks. It was a great moment in the BTN green room just a few minutes ago.
Oh, good stuff. We love watching the journey. We talked about that last week. There's been a couple of segments with Nebraska and Ron Kellogg and Kenny Bell on there, and I guess we'll leave you with this one. One team, we've kind of talked about all the games, but who's got the best chance to pull off a shocker in the Big Ten this week?
You know what? It's a great question because I do that every week. I try to look at games that I think are going to be upsettable, if that's the right word. I think I may have just made up an adjective or an adverb. I don't see one. I mean, I guess if you said you have to pick one, I would say Minnesota because they're at home and the kind of football that they're playing right now. But, you know, Iowa's favored, rightfully so, at home. Michigan State should take care of business against Northwestern. Same thing for Ohio State. Illinois and Purdue, is there really an upset in there? I guess I would have to go with Minnesota if I was going to say anyone. But right now, I think this is the weekend that the favorites roll in the Big Ten.
All right, Rick, we always appreciate chatting with you on the Doug and Daddy Show and for making some time for us. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Great stuff, man. You too.
Take care. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network. Always great to have him join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Man, I want to know what Jimmy Langan thinks tomorrow. I just cannot believe that Ohio State, just because they need to blow out Indiana. I think that's why they don't. Maybe that's what happened to him last week. I don't know. But 35? Indiana can score. Indiana can score. And this is one of those games that might be 62-40, but you know what that is, Jeff? 22 points. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and be back to answer your fantasy football questions. Luke Hoover of RotoWire is there. And don't forget, as we head to break, you might be heading out to lunch. Nothing better than stopping by the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A in Kearney, for family fun, drinks, and food. Head on out to the Chicken Coop, where they've got great lunch specials every single day. And, of course, your favorite sports on television every single night. Not only basketball, but football. There's some good college games tonight. Plus, it's the Saints taking on the Falcons in what could be an important game, especially for New Orleans, in the NFL. So whether you need a burger, a pizza, a bunch of wings, and your favorite sauce for the family, the co-workers, make sure you stop by the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A in Kearney.
From sunup to sundown, look all around, values abound at Subway.
Nothing stacks up to all-day values at Subway. We're talking $3 breakfast combos, great $5 footlongs, and tasty $6 footlong specials too, like the sweet onion chicken teriyaki. Value is served up fresh all day. Subway, eat fresh.
Morning, noon, and night, made the way you like. Values abound at Subway.
Limited time only, plus tax, prices, and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Additional charge for extras.
It's beginning to look a lot like Tixmas.
Excuse me?
You heard me. Tixmas. This season, hook your friends and your family up with the best night ever with great seats on StubHub. Or the best day ever in some cases.
I got you. So NHL seats for dad, basketball tickets for your college nephew, seats for that big game in February for your favorite coworker.
Not making any promises. Besides, I might let you plan your own fun with a StubHub gift certificate.
I like this whole Tixmas thing.
So wish your friends and family a Merry Tixmas with great seats on StubHub today.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
ESPN
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
The skies remain overcast today. We'll also see some scattered flurries and snow showers, possibly mixing with some sleet developing. Any accumulation stays at an inch or less by tonight, with temperatures that'll stay pretty steady in the 20s. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 25.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mart Cooler question is brought to you by Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Which state football championship game are you most looking forward to watching? Ah, the local one wins at 34% for Donovan Trumbull, taking on Aquinas, 24% for Exeter Milligan and Hemingford, then B and C1 and A a little bit farther down the list. Our Midtown Mart Cooler question can be voted on at any time, ESPNSuperstation.com. Every Thursday we ask you how the Huskers are going to do, so how will the Huskers fare Saturday at Penn State? Win, lose, and cover, which will be tough because it's only a 2-point spread, or lose and not cover. So, how will Nebraska do at Penn State on Saturday? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
It's time for our fantasy football report brought to you by Fanatics, your fantasy football headquarters, with numerous high-def televisions throughout the facility to watch your favorite games. NFL Red Zone, an NFL Sunday Ticket, and Fanatics guarantees that every NFL game is on at least one of their many televisions. Don't forget, they've got a wide variety of appetizers, sandwiches, pizza, wings, burgers, and even a kids menu that'll make you stand up and cheer. Join the Fanatics at Fanatics for every NFL and major college football game all season long. And we welcome in Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Ready for another good game tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Let's start there. Sproles, play him, sit him. Who else? Play him, sit him. What do you got?
Well, you know, Sproles got a little dinged up in the game against San Fran. So you kind of want to watch. He's listed as questionable. But just make sure he's active, you know, before you put him in the lineup. He's a guy I would be a little leery of, just because I think that New Orleans could probably get up and have a big lead in that game, and with guys that are banged up, where he has a knee issue, an ankle issue going on, they might rest him, they might sit him a little more than usual, so he might not be as involved and productive as you're used to. Same would go for a guy like Jimmy Graham. If you own him, you're going to start him. You almost have to, but unless he scores in the first half, he's probably not going to do a lot of damage tonight. I could see New Orleans really running the ball effectively. We've seen Tampa Bay last week and the week before. Seattle ran all over Atlanta. That defense is kind of a mess for them. And I like Pierre Thomas and Mark Ingram even, in deeper leagues to be productive.
This comes from Merritt, who says, I need to start one running back, standard scoring, Shane Vereen, Darren Sproles, Lamar Miller, Mike Tolbert.
That one's pretty easy. It's got to be Vereen. Normally you say Sproles is a really good option. And like I said, though, I'd be a little bit nervous to play him in a game that I think could get out of hand for Atlanta, where they might rest him. Vereen, I think he got about 12 targets in the Carolina game. He's so involved in that passing offense, kind of as that Danny Woodhead role that you know, he played for years in New England. He's going to be effective the rest of the year, I believe.
Folks, don't forget to send in your questions for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. You can tweet him to us right now at ESPN 1460-1550. You can email him to the Doug and Daddy Dent Popper inbox. That's Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let's go to Scott in Kearney. Would you take a shot at playing Scott Tolzien this week over RG3 or stick with the Washington quarterback?
I don't think you can bench RG3 just yet for, you know, a player like Scott Tolzien. I know he's got the 49ers, but at least he's at home. You know, and San Fran's got a good enough offense to maybe build a lead and force Griffin into throwing. Even in a game where he struggled for basically three quarters against the Eagles, he still put up nice fantasy numbers at the end of the day. He was able to get in the end zone a couple of times, and that was with Jordan Reed knocked out of the game. Now, if he's out again, you know, it might hurt Griffin's numbers a little bit, but I'd still give him an edge. I like what Scott Tolzien's been able to do, but you know, no touchdowns last week, three interceptions, and that's against a pretty, you know, average Giants defense.
Need a defense. I'm looking at the Browns, or is there a sleeper out there that would be better?
No, I like what the Browns are doing. You know, they would have put up a lot of fantasy points this last week if it wasn't for their offense. You know, turning it over so much to Cincinnati, giving him short fields, you know, actually giving up a couple touchdowns directly with, you know, the fumble return and a blocked punt. So I think, you know, provided they take care of the ball better on offense, that should be a low-scoring game and their defense could put up some points. You know, Roethlisberger has gotten sacked a lot this year, and Cleveland's among the league leaders in sacks. So it's a good play.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire answering your fantasy football questions here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as he does every Thursday. Of course, next Thursday we're going to sit back and we're going to eat some turkey. So that'll be coming up. Luke is going to join us. Are you going to join us Wednesday, Luke? Is that good?
You know what? If it, we can do that on Wednesday, that wouldn't be an issue for me.
All right, we'll do that. We'll get a couple questions in with Luke next Wednesday. Sean via the Facebook says, "I'm only asking because of injury. Pick two of these running backs: Adrian Peterson, MJD, Zach Stacy."
That one might be the easiest question of the day, because you're never going to bench Adrian Peterson. And on top of that, the Packers have been run on quite a bit these last couple of weeks. Particularly, we saw Forte and LeSean McCoy both top 100 on him a couple weeks back. And Zach Stacy's coming off a bye, so he should be rested. And he's got the Bears defense. We just saw what Ray Rice was able to do to them after the dreadful year he's been having. So I think those two are possibly top five running backs this week.
Wow, Zach Stacy, people, put that down. Put that down in your notebook, Zach Stacy, to have a big week. Which one of these? Oh, let's see. I guess there's five of them. So he's got five wide receivers, wants to start three of them: Marcus Colston, Calvin Johnson, Harry Douglas, Mike Wallace, Jordan Reed.
You know, another one that's not too difficult. You're never benching Calvin. We've seen Colston kind of reemerge the last couple weeks and become a lot more involved in the offense. And as I mentioned before, I think with guys like Graham and Sproles being a little dinged up, if New Orleans gets a lead, they might be rested. So Colston could be, you know, heavily involved again this week, and it's a really good matchup for him. And again, you know, Harry Douglas has been putting up pretty consistent numbers just about every week, with the exception of playing against the Seahawks. You know, it's a game that Atlanta will have to throw in, and he's just that much better than Mike Wallace right now, which is sad to say for Wallace, but Harry Douglas is easily a better play than Wallace this week, and Jordan Reed could be out. So,
got a couple of minutes left here with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, RotoWire.com. Injury report, is there somebody else? I want to ask you specifically about Denver tight end Julius Thomas. What are you thinking? Because obviously if you got a guy like that that you rely on, you go to the waiver wire, there's not a whole lot left.
Yeah, you know, they're saying that Thomas is day-to-day, so he's probably just keep an eye on him and watch his status as the week progresses. Probably be listed as questionable and then ultimately be a game-time decision. Since it's a night game, though, you probably want to have an alternative option. And, you know, there are some guys that look appealing this week. You saw how Delanie Walker played last week, and he could be, you know, looking at as a, possibly the favorite target for Fitzpatrick going forward for Tennessee. Has a pretty solid matchup, you know, against the Raiders defense. They got torched by Garrett Graham last week, who is another decent option who might be on the waiver wire playing against Jacksonville, you know, another bad pass defense, and possibly, you know, Case Keenum's number two target. And Kobe Fleener. So those three guys could be unowned in a lot of leagues, and they'd be players to pick up, maybe even a John Carlson type. But there are other options, and with Thomas being probably a game-time call, you might want to put someone else out there.
Well, I think right there at the end you answer it, because I got to get you in one of our leagues, Luke, and then you that would probably wean you off fantasy football with the psychos I'm in with. But, of course, I went for I personally went for Garrett Graham and didn't get him because the guy I'm playing this week picked him up because he's terrible and he got the first at it. But here's according to RotoWire, this would be kind of the top five guys that are left if I needed somebody to replace Thomas. Jared Cook, Jeff Cumberland, Rob Housler, John Carlson, Dallas Clark. Those are the top five guys. Which one would you play?
You know, it's really close between Carlson and Housler, but I would probably give a slight edge to Carlson. I actually think that Arizona might make Indy look a little bit bad this week in the desert out there in Arizona, and I think they might run it a little more than they throw it. Minnesota, I expect Green Bay to bounce back a little bit and maybe, you know, at least keep that competitive or even win that game, even with Tolzien at quarterback. So I think Minnesota will be throwing it a fair amount. Carlson's been getting a lot of targets.
Talking with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, let's get to that. You mentioned Zach Stacy. Is there anybody else out there that would be a good play that maybe is a borderline other weeks? And who's a guy that doesn't have a good matchup this week?
Well, a guy who's very borderline most weeks, and I mentioned him briefly before, you know, even in like a 10-12 team league, maybe obviously in deeper leagues, certainly, but I like Mark Ingram this week. I think, you know, we saw him play the role of the closer a couple weeks back against Dallas and have a monster game, and I don't think, I wouldn't, you know, go in with any type of expectations like that, but I expect between 12 and 15 carries or so. He's been running hard. Wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe get a goal line opportunity or two and produce well against Atlanta, so he's a good flex option. And in that same game, I already mentioned Pierre Thomas. You know, I think he's going to have a monster game. You've probably been starting him most weeks with the, you know, thin depth at running back position. But he's a good option tonight, you know, as well. Those guys could possibly run all over Atlanta.
And who do you got to bench?
You know what? He's coming off the big week, but there is no way in any league I'm playing Ray Rice against the Jets. you know, the Jets just hammered. Even though they got beat really badly, they completely controlled Buffalo's rush attack with Spiller and Fred Jackson. I know that's not necessarily saying a lot with the way Spiller's played this year, but you know, outside of that game, Ray Rice has done nothing all year and averaged less than 3 yards a carry in just about every contest. So it's going to be a rough day for him, I think.
This comes from Tony all the way up on the stream in Sioux Falls. He wants to know what percentage you think Wes Welker will play this week.
The percentage, you know, as far as number of snaps, it's kind of anybody's guess. We have to see, you know, based on the injury, if he is going to play at all. I haven't seen, you know, a definitive report. Right now, he hasn't practiced. You know, and anytime, you know, they have to go through the concussion protocol and get cleared. So until he's officially cleared and they say he's going to play, you know, it's tough to call at this point. And like I said before, with Julius Thomas, same situation. Being the night game, you might want to roll somebody out earlier in the day just in case he is out of the game.
And finally, this comes from Tony and Bertrand. He wants to know why Colston sucks.
Well, I think he's jumping the gun on that one. He had a bad stretch. It was about 3 or 4 weeks in a row where he was really just kind of disappeared. But, you know, 187 yards the last 2 weeks. Yeah, he's getting targeted more by Breeze. And I think the whatever issue he was going on with his knee that, you know, made him miss a game might have been hindering him. But he seems to be back to himself. I would certainly play him. I wouldn't have any doubts in him going forward the rest of the way.
I'll ask you one more, Luke. Was it a fluke last week, or could that actually be the awakening for us Dwayne Bowe owners?
I don't think it was a fluke, because more than anything, it's a result of how many targets he's got. You know, and he only had 4 catches, so he still has to get on the same page a little more with Alex Smith. But the last 2 games that they've played, he has 12 and 14 targets. So it's really just a volume game for Bowe going forward. I think he's going to see in that neighborhood of 8 to 10 targets just about every week. So he should start producing more consistently.
All right, Luke, as always, we appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk to you next Wednesday and throw a couple questions your way.
Sounds great, guys.
Take care. Luke Hoover as our fantasy football report. Every Thursday, except for Thanksgiving, we'll have questions for him on Wednesday as part of our Husker Lunch, the final one of the regular season next Wednesday at Cunningham. So he'll join us along with Steve Sipple and a variety of other guests, our Loper link as well. Don't forget to get signed up for the Doug and Daddy's Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. All you have to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com. It's free. Sign up. Each week we've got a winner. You can win more than once, and you don't have to be going all week long. Maybe you just jump in now. Maybe you just first time you've heard of it. You're new to the area. Heck, you can get on and win a $25 gift card to Fanatics. Second place gets a free large pizza, which is awesome as well, from Fanatics and all our winners. Whether you won in week one or you win in week 17, you're going to be entered into a drawing for a $200 Super Bowl party for you and your friends from Fanatics. All you have to do is sign up at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let's get to some emails here as we get towards the end of today's program. Doug, I know the Big Ten doesn't want to give the Huskers any credit because we're new to the conference. With Maryland and Rutgers coming in, that should change. But until we win a Big Ten title, we won't get any respect from the conference or the guys on the network. As Rick Pizzo told it like it was, talking maybe more about Jerry DiNardo. And, you know, of course, Husker, that's where the rose-colored glasses come out. Nebraska fans think Nebraska's better than Michigan State, and Michigan State's going to say, hey, we came in and beat you, and we forced those turnovers, and we beat you in Lincoln, so we're the better team. Brent says, Doug, I agree with your list of seven Hall of Famers, but for the life of me, I can't figure out why Ray Guy hasn't been enshrined. Granted, the position isn't glamorous, but definitely changes the outcome of the game, and the man deserves it. A penny for your thoughts, and I hope you'll take a check. Thanks, Brent. I got to double check this, too. He was one of the two that goes up by the Veterans Committee. And does he? I don't know if he's officially in or if that list of 25 officially leaves him. I think he's still got a chance to get in for this year. It was him and an old Atlanta Falcon. So I will have to check if he has still got a chance to get in this year or if that says no. And you're right. Ray Guy needs to be in. That's fourth down, people. That's a quarter of the game. That's fourth down. You're running your punter out there. Ray Guy, best punter ever, needs to be in. Of course he needs to be in. Brent, good point. Good point. And finally, before we take our last break, I want to thank Mike Frank, for emailing the program. This is one of those things that I saw, and it happened over the weekend, and I apologize that I should have mentioned it on Monday's show. But you know, we've had some fun with Irish Ken for a long, long time, and he's one of those people that I would see at games, and he did some volunteering for Kearney Catholic, and it doesn't matter. Every town has, and every school has, people that volunteer and help out. Some most recently have just started. Some have been doing it for years. The PA guy, the clock operator, the ticket taker. But Irish Ken also loved to chime in about the Huskers and Notre Dame and a couple of his favorite high school sports. Well, Irish Ken passed away here recently, and Mike has sent us, his son has sent us this email. He says, guys, it comes with great sadness that I have to inform you that God has called Irish Ken up to the heavens. Sadly, the five turnovers put Ken over the edge, along with a horrible performance by the Irish at Pittsburgh that weekend. In all seriousness, though, Irish Ken, my dad, loved your show and loved giving you guys a hard time. He'll be missed by many and was the biggest sports fan I knew. I've never known a guy get so riled up about women's volleyball, and he would have been thrilled to see the Lady Stars win yet another championship. So no more incoherent rants from Irish Ken. He was a horrible speller for such a smart man, says his son. He's up with Rockne, Leahy, and Devaney, putting in a good word with the man upstairs for the Irish, the Huskers, and his Kearney Catholic Stars. Mike, thank you so much for the note, and Irish Ken, rest in peace. He was fun to just, you know, flip a little guff to, and he would send it my way, and I'd send it back. And Irish Ken, no more from him. And in fact, if we do get an email from Irish Ken, I shall be a little bit worried. I'm guessing he could find a way to do it. We'll take a break and wrap up the Doug and Daddy show after this.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 20th and 21st at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, showcases hundreds of exhibitors that will help your ag business succeed. While you browse, enjoy free lunches and entertainment. Sponsored by Cargill, State Bank of Riverdale, Fox Nebraska, and Nebraska Land Distributors. The 2013 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 20th and 21st.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo! everything you do on the Newsprint Network is important. Today, we honor the following party invite posted by Nate.
Sup, homies and homettes. This holiday office party is going to be off the chizzy for Rizzy. We're going to get the party started with some sick gingerbread house decorating. Then we'll get down to some legit jams with some sweet carol singing. And if you didn't think this party could get any more ill, everyone is going to walk away with some serious swag from our White Elephant gift exchange. But keep it under $5, yo.
In honor of the important things you do over the holidays, Sprint brings you this great deal. Get our best-selling Android tablet, the new 7-inch Samsung Galaxy Tab 3, for just $49.99 when you sign up for a data plan, starting at only $5 per month. Visit a Sprint store or Sprint.com today.
Offer ends 1/23/14. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination. Plan price excludes taxes and Sprint surcharges. Restrictions apply.
How do you make the game even better? Just add pizza. Not just any pizza, but a pizza made with fresh, never frozen ingredients, made from scratch dough, and 100% cheese. That's right, just add pizza from Papa John's. For a limited time, get any large up to 3 toppings for $10 or any specialty for just $12.99. Now it's a game. Order online at papajohns.com or call Papa John's of Kearney today, 236-5455. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's.
Thursday night, it's an NFC South matchup when Drew Brees and the Saints face Matt Ryan and the disappointing Atlanta Falcons. Hi, this is Ian Eagle of Westwood One. Join Trent Green and me live from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth at the Georgia Dome for all the action. Can Atlanta rise to the occasion and pull off the upset? Or will New Orleans put on another powerful primetime performance? Tune in to find out. If it's Thursday night football, it's right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I want to remind you that the Nebraska men's basketball team currently playing on 1230 KHAS. Massachusetts leads Nebraska 25-22 with just under 8 minutes to go in the first half. That's also on ESPN3 with games, depending on how they do, tomorrow and Saturday. Ray Guy, still a finalist. Producer Jeff has found me for the Hall of Fame here in 2014. So hopefully a chance to get in, and I think that counts on the 7th. So we'll have to revamp a little bit. I would put him in. Now I got to find somebody else that I guess you'd have to knock out. Ray's been resting just like folks have been for years with their great Lazy Boy and Lane recliners from Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Lane, Best Chairs, Ashley, Lazy Boy, Tempur-Pedic, Southern Motion, Serta. When you go down for that evening nap and the long winter hibernation, make sure that while you're home more, probably in the wintertime, that you are going to be in comfort. Bruce can take care of you, Mike and the gang, and all of the fine folks at their 4 locations, Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering, and brucefurniture.com. They do more with easy credit terms and expert service after the sale. Trusted brand names and the small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. UNK volleyball team sets 7th in this week's regional rankings. A big game with Washburn tomorrow night. There is nothing guaranteed for this 24-5 ball club. That's because the 8th slot, you can't afford to slide down there because the winner of the Great American Conference Tournament, which is a hack, apparently, might be Harding, Arkansas, who's 9th, but they would automatically get into the NCAA tournament. So basically, the top 8 get in, but it'll be the top 7 because one of those spots will be taken from a team or by a team that's not currently in the top 8. Central Missouri's 1, Concordia St. Paul 2, then Minnesota Duluth, Washburn, Southwest Minnesota State, Northern State, and UNK. Wayne State ranked 18th in the country, people. 10th in the region, and will not probably get in to the NCAA tournament unless they do some big-time upsetting of teams in the Northern Sun tournament. By the way, that Jerome Bettis stat line we referred to earlier, had 5 carries, 1 yard, and 3 touchdowns in a game. That's awesome. That's great. That's great. Hope you had him in a touchdown-only league. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Jim Langan will be in. We've got a chance. What is Cunningham's cash now? Are we 90 or 100?
90
bucks in Cunningham's cash? Come on. Come on, people.
It's getting ridiculous again. That's a big haul. All you got to do is beat Jimmy and myself. And we haven't been throwing up the numbers that we did last year. I don't know if the games are tougher or we've got more parity in football. But, I mean, has anybody – we've had like 1-8-2 all year. I mean, and that's not even from the caller, I don't think.
Right, and I think 7-3 about a couple of weeks. But consistently 6-4, 5-5, guys.
And that's winning it. That's winning it. Your chance tomorrow, Jim Langan. Plus, more on the high school football playoffs next week. Ah, yes, only one Doug and Daddy show, and that'll be our Husker lunch at Cunningham's on Wednesday, because Monday and Tuesday we've got the state football finals, Thanksgiving Thursday, and college football and the Huskers on Friday the 29th. During all of this, though, you'll have time to get to your Midway Auto Dealership, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, with Midway Care. That means huge hassle-free discounts, low deductibles. New and certified warranties are there for you and easy exchanges. Plus, they've got free preventative care, free maintenance on new and certified pre-owned vehicles. They don't just say, hey, here's your car, see ya, never talk to you again. They take care of you, and that's why you keep coming back to the Midway Auto Dealerships. You can check out their inventory ahead of time, so that way when you go to the lot, you know exactly what you want to look at, and you'll already know pretty much everything there is to know about the vehicle, the color, the mileage. The photos on the website give you a whole look at the interior, the trunk, the engine. You can't do any better than their all-new ThinkMidway.com. The Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Hope you enjoyed our talk today. I sure did. Talking football with Joe Giuliano of the Philadelphia Inquirer and Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network, and of course answering your fantasy football questions with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. If you missed any of the conversation from today or any of our shows or any of our high school sporting events, specifically the state football playoffs and state volleyball tournament, they're all up on our podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. All you have to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com, click on the podcast, and you can listen to any of the high school games this fall, no matter if it was volleyball or football, and the Doug and Daddy show from any time this fall as well. See how much smarter you can get or make up some stuff for us. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.